What's going on, guys?
This is going to be the first episode. It's kind of going to be a, just a short introduction of what I'm going to be doing, what I'm going to be thinking. It's going to be easier for me to do this, like, unedited news. I'm going to talk about a lot of stuff. News, free and open source software. Just kind of be all over the place where I can dump my thoughts, my experiences as a non-tech related worker, but like more of as a user, a learner, an informer, and hopefully get other people on the ball of getting to better free and open source alternative platforms, maybe increase your security a little bit, increase your privacy, and just kind of explore the other side of the coin, I guess. And I don't really have too much of a script. It's more of a coming from my brain, and it's more of coming from, some notes I wrote, some articles I found, some perspective that I've seen. And eventually I'll get to maybe like a segmentation, I'll get to a segmentation, like, oh, this is what this is what this is, in this order. So if people want to jump around, they can. And kind of like my experience with running Linux, Graphene OS, which I will be doing once Android 15 comes out and I test it. I get to test it actually and use it. I think I asked the Graphene OS developers is there a way I could test, and they said, I think they said no. This was a few weeks back, so it could be different now, but I'm just gonna wait till they release it. And be like, all right, I'll get it when it drops, and then I'll do like a long form video review, long term review and video, and that's gonna be the point. I do like live streaming and gaming and talking to people. It's kind of nice. It's kind of cool. And this is going to be the first thing that we're going to talk about. I came across an article that I'll put in the transcript, show notes, or whatever, a link. I'm pretty sure, link. Quick side note, I'm using Yellow Ball, which is Side of Burritos. It's his podcasting platform that he started. It's very based, very cool. He lets you pay with crypto. No email needed. If you need to reset your password, you need an email. And for information and notifications, it's optional, which is based. Two-factor authentication is there too, which is based. But what's more based is that you can pay with crypto. You don't have to pay with a credit card. It's $13 a month in the current $13 a month in the current date. It'll expire in 2 months. 3 months, 4 months, 5 months. You have to purchase like the show and then the number of months that you want to. Super awesome. It accepted. He has like a way to do it. He has like an automated way to do it, apparently, but there's a way you do it on the platform. It's very nice. It's very clean. I like it. It's very clean. I don't know if there is a dark mode by default, but please, for the love of God, I think dark mode should just be automatically automatically done. Dark mode for every website on the planet. Fuck light mode. It sucks. My eyes burn, and it was never good. But back to the reporting. More or less the reading and the awareness. This is from the EFF, which is a really good organization. By the FTC report confirms commercial surveillance is out of control. And just to give like a, I mean, obviously go read it yourself, and you can even go read the new Federal Trade Commission report. Pretty much confirms what the EFF has been warning about for years. Tech giants are widely harvesting and sharing your personal information to fuel their online behavior advertising business. This is a four-year investigation into the data practices. Nine social media companies, YouTube, Facebook, X, or Twitter, whatever, demonstrates how commercial surveillance leaves consumers with little control over their privacy, while not entire every investigation company committed the terrible privacy practices. Companies collect personal data well beyond consumer expectations. There's an undefeated data sharing with third parties, and consumers are left in the dark, kind of like left in the dark. The surveillance advertising business model are like getting worse. They essentially, the easiest way to look at it is there's no really good federal policy that can help like actually protect you. And the thing is, like, the more extensions that you add, the more fingerprintable you become. So it's like everyone's just like, oh, just add all the extensions, and then it's like you're kind of like doing the opposite. Your best bet is to private all your account first. I mean, if you can, get the fuck off Facebook and Twitter. Just leave at this point. Just leave if you can. YouTube is kind of like a catch 22, where I need a Gmail account in order to have a YouTube account, and to reach the audience that isn't privacy conscious, I need a YouTube account. Like, that's, it's kind of like, yeah, I'm doing harm, but I'm trying to reduce the overall harm by harming myself, I guess. There's really no good strong enforcement with all these fucking companies. They get is a fine, and it's like baby money to them. Even if they get fined half their into oblivion, it's like, all right, we'll just start a new company and then move on. And people, I mean, if Facebook is still somehow relevant, which is fucking insane to me, and I don't know how it is, I don't see a lot of these platforms like disappearing. I mean, just go on Mastodon, go on PeerTube. They're not like the better alternative. They're just an alternative. And I think that's the part that people forget. It's like, I want choice. Give me the choice. This is, you know, Mastodon respects my privacy. I don't have to worry about ads. It's you can run your own server, which I was doing for a while, but it's like very resource intensive. And I don't know, PeerTube's kind of nicer. I have more of a use for PeerTube because I can just take all my videos from YouTube and I can push them over to PeerTube. I can mirror it over to PeerTube, and it's, you know, and running on my own dedicated hardware, my own hardware, to me is the most important, because I think the ownership of your own hardware is just as much as important as like the ownership of your own like data, just perspective, like physical media, like physical anything. Like, if you have it in your possession, I believe you have the ownership of it. You have the ownership of it. So it kind of sucks. Pretty much these advertising business models are getting out of control. The profits are generated from targeted ads are getting insane, and it's gotten people believing that their microphones and their phones are like listening to them because it's gotten so good. So it does spread a lot of false misinformation where, and this is kind of like my thought process on it. if you think that there is no solution, you are never going to change your opinion. And this is the problem with spreading disinformation like this, where, hey, the vast majority of people I do talk to do think this. They're like, oh, your phone's always listening to you. And then you correct them, and they're still like, well, I don't care anymore, because I've been fed this lie my entire life, where people think that, like, these kind of things happen. And I read through the Federal Trade Commission report. It's quite interesting. They do not respect COPPA at all, which is kind of like the child child online protection act. It's severely outdated, but it's Congress should pass a federal privacy legislation that provided by COPPA. This should just be default for everyone. If I go to a website and I don't want to be tracked and I don't want my information to be sold, I should have that right. Just because I use your platform doesn't mean you should have the right to sell my information. I think that's kind of an insane take to even defend, because, like, just don't use the platform. It's kind of like a lazy argument. What I would expect from a person who doesn't own a car, don't own a phone, don't just live on an island. We got to be realistic. The worst part is when these companies, I thought about it for a minute, like when these companies violate these privacy laws and they say, oh, we're not sharing it, and they just get a slap on the wrist and they do share it, you don't know who they're sharing it to. Like, they could be sharing it to the most absolute terrible people. And then put yourself into, like, a parent's perspective, where they're like, you know, children have the right to respect to their own. They don't even have the choice, but which kind of, in my opinion, I think if your kids tell you not to put their faces online, you should, as a parent, should respect that and listen to them. But say Facebook just recently came out, like, got fined, or like there was like a story about them getting like them scraping public data for like their AI models. So say they're not allowed to, and they scrape kids' data, like pictures, like they're like, oh, we don't do anyone under the age of 18. Well, what about parents that control their kids' Facebook, or like have Facebook but don't, their kids don't, but they upload their photos on there and it's public, and then they're scraping it anyways? What do you do? How do you solve that? You go individual file by individual. Oh, this is a teenager. Oh, this is not a teenager. Oh, this is a teen. How the fuck are you supposed to know this? So it's like, this is why I always tell people, like, first off, I don't think you should put your kids online. In my personal opinion, my personal take, I think they should be able to make that decision when they're 18. Because you don't know what the fuck, God knows, company is grabbing this and selling it, or just, you know, fucking weirdos on the internet. Second off, you can get a lot of information from just their uniform, their backpack, and then these people know where the fuck you live, and they figure out insane shit from just photos. I mean, if they could find, I understand that, like, fucking McAfee made an autistic move and didn't remove his geolocation data, but there was a period on time on Facebook, or was it Flickr? Yeah, it was Flickr, that it automatically had the geotagged location data from, like, your photos just not removed. You could just scrape the metadata off of it and absolutely destroy somebody's day just by being, oh, you're actually, yeah, this was taken 30 feet from your house. So pretty much companies will collect personal data well beyond the consumer expectations. The report is quite insane and scary, because it's like, people always go like, just don't use the platform. But let's be real. They should limit the data collection to what they need versus what they want to sell. It's that simple. Just like I said, that the alternative platforms, the alternative platforms aren't right really in the position to take over a mass amount of people. And I don't know, it's just it's kind of, it's dystopian sounding and dark and doomer, and you're like, well, what do I do, man? Well, go home, tell your grandmother, tell your mom, tell your wife, tell your kids, make your account private, first off. Just do that. From what Meta, Facebook, whatever the name is, said, they essentially said, we're like, hey, if your account's private, we can't scrape it, whatever. They can't scrape the data from it. Do I believe that? I don't know. I'm just some guy on the internet with a mic. I would still make it private, just so strangers can't look at your shit. Second, falsify all the information. They don't actually need to know your real fucking birthday, man. Everyone knows your birthday. We knew birthday before internet. birthday exists. Just make shit up. Put whatever gender you want. Put whatever name you want. Just fake that shit. I don't know why people have this instinctive to put real information. Now, obviously, there's some malice to actually put your real information. There is some malice. Like, I don't know if I'm using that word right. There's some merit to using your real information in some situations. Like, let's not be silly, but it's Facebook. Like, put whatever information, put that you're from fucking Tennessee and blah, 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 and move on. Use email aliasing. I use it. I pretty much get it accepted everywhere. Switch to a better email provider if you can. There's, like, tons of companies out there. There's Proton. There's Tuda. There's, you know, there's StarPays. There's Cockmail. Like, you know, all these other options that may slightly be more nice on your privacy. And it is crazy, though, that these social media and video streaming platforms have YouTube now serves ads if you pause. I think in some beta, like, they'll serve ads if you pause. Ads are everywhere. God, I hate it, man. When I use any of my friends or people, they're just like, hey, I'm like, hey, I need to see your computer, your phone for like 2 seconds, or they show me something and they give ads. I would kill myself going on the internet if I didn't have an ad blocker immediately. I don't know how people survive without it. Like, genuinely, it just sounds like a terrible experience. Personally, ad blockers should be just, the ads suck. I would rather just go directly to the news site that I use for most of my content and just hand them $5. Like, here, have $5. Here's $15. Take this. Thank you for writing this. It's amazing. It's more than that what the ad would pay you. And I'm less annoyed, because ads are annoying. I use RSS feeds just due to the fact that I don't get fucking ads. I use certain podcasts, podcasting apps, and some of the people I'm listening to is like, that's all right. There's 4 ads, so I'm gonna walk away and not listen to this, or I'm gonna consider subscribing to your Patreon just to fucking remove these. These are terrible. But I get it. You gotta pay the bills, man. I'm not like, I just ads are so bad. They're not funny anymore like they used to be. Switching gears, security-wise, passwordless feature is actually going to be, it's getting closer. Google now has the sync feature for their passkeys. So if you use a Chromebook and you use Google and you love Google and you're super dope on them, sorry, but just to let you know, if you care about account security, I will definitely agree that passkeys are a million times better than your password. CNET whatever, whoever. They pretty much talk about it briefly for a second. They have a syncing. They pretty much, you can set up your pass keys for your Google account. If you forget your password, and you can forget your passwords. I wouldn't go that far. It's not. You can pretty much sync your pass keys across your devices through the Chrome browser. If you want to do it, do it. I would say, if you're going to do it, absolutely do it. If you're like hard, you know, super cock hard in Goose ecosystem, do it. Just fucking do it. Don't not do it. Passkeys are, people are so bad with passwords. I mean, there's literally data breach after data breach after data breach. Because people are just so shitty with their passwords. And a person that just goes on the dark net and just looks at public password data dumps, I'm like, oh God, these are awful. These are the worst. And they're the worst for a reason. And people still get, they're like, I don't know how I got hacked. What's the issue? What? I swear I picked a password no one knows. And it's like their fucking dog. 1-2 dot. It doesn't matter if somebody knows your password, Jim. You're just retarded. And don't understand that these people will pay a stupid amount of money for GPUs in the cloud to crack just ungodly amounts of passwords, or they just find a way to fish you and just you just hand it to them. It doesn't matter. The whole like, oh, no one's gonna guess it. It's not. They're not guessing it. They're literally. You're either handing it over because you clicked on the link, or they are cracking it because it's so bad that it's like it was worth the $50 to crack this subset of hashes. as a former shit password maker, like literally, I would make the worst password on the planet. I had accounts that would like that were in data breaches, and I was like, yep. Looking back at it, I was like, yep, makes sense. I was bad. It was awful. And then I got a password manager, and I was like, wow, this makes my life easier. I no longer have to make up passwords. It does it for me. I secure everything with 2FA now. I secure everything with passkeys if I can, which is very based. Or I personally like hardware keys. If you don't want to get sucked into Google's anus, where this would kind of vendor lock you into them like pretty gnarly. Same thing with app. I don't really like that personally. I think that kind of lame. You could just get a hardware key, FIDO, Nitro Pass key, password to login, 2-factor authentication, FIDO 2, web auth, $30, €30, open source, awesome. You know, that's what I would do. I would just get, or just get a YubiKey. And I understand the YubiKey issue was fucking annoying and super lame. And kind of sucks for the people that are like, well, how do I leave Google if I get sucked into this? And I don't know. Yeah, so I definitely tell people to get up on that, get up on it, on the account security, brother. And, you know, Nitro keys, just kind of like the based solution. And now to the last part. That was you know, some news, some stuff, some reporting, some findings, some advice, all in one. I'll come across more stuff, like cool stuff, like I have a RSS feed now dedicated to learning, to knowing, to having. GrapheneOS, awesome so far, very based, very chill, very cool, very loved. Ran into a fucking nightmare problem where some certain banking apps would not work. So I had a solution. Progressive Web App. Went to Progressive Web Apps and found something called Hermit. Hermit was like, hey, we're closed source. This is our reason. I kind of find it bullshit. Again, I'm not a developer, but I kind of find it bullshit. I didn't really agree with it, but I was like, okay, this is maybe a good solution. And then someone was like, hey, have you heard of this alternative that's open source? And it was native alpha or something. It's essentially the same thing, just open source. And I was like, cool, based. And there's a paid option, and you can pay for it if you want, which I, you know, support. Buy stuff, buy software, support your local software company, support open source software. Even if it's not with money, just share, use, submit bug reports, whatever. So I end up turning on a feature because one of the homies was like, yo, this is probably missing. I'm like, yo, you right. It was missing. And it kind of sucked because I was like spending like hours just thinking, doing. Like, fuck, man. This is lame. And then I figured it out. And now everything, so far, every app pretty much now works. I've tested every app that I personally use, and it's pretty much all worked. I'm going to be getting there's a Steam Deck open source Steam Deck application. It's not really like Stream Deck. It's not like a physical device. You can just put it on an Android tablet or something. I'm looking into that. I think that's what I'm going to do. Which is going to be kind of awesome. I'll get that. And then I'm trying to find a open source camera. It's not easy. I was looking at the Raspberry Pi's webcam option through Jeff Gehring, but I don't think it's being as maintained, and it's, you know, again, it's not his, it's like, you have to maintain this, Jeff Gehring, or I'm gonna be upset. But with all the, like, this new Pi, like, all the new Pis coming out, and, like, the fact that they're so small, it's super awesome. I can actually, like, maybe make a webcam out of open source hardware, which would be the based solution. Like, I would love that. I would love to be able to just sit there and, like, use as much open source and open hardware as possible. I was looking at the Pi Cam, the Pi CinePi. That'd be kind of cool to, like, record some stuff on. Maybe. I don't know. That'd be kind of awesome. It sucks because I'm always worried about these. I'm always worried about these projects, like, starting and then, like, immediately getting rid of the map opponent. I don't know. It sucks because, like, there's something I find, I'm like, oh, I love this, and then we're discontinuing it. Oh, someone needs to take. That's the cool. I mean, I guess that's the cool part is if something gets dropped, you can anyone can pick it up if they have the time and they want to. I think that's the cool part. Open source, people really forget about that, and I guess, like, that's my argument for right to repair. Just same thing. I like the idea of just being like, hey, I want to be able to fix this whenever I want. I should have the option to. What if the manufacturing company goes out of business and you're just stuck with all these useless fucking, like, you're stuck with this fucking, you know, paperweight because it's not getting updates. Oh, wait. We actually can continue this because here's the parts. Here's a place that you can buy it. Here's the software. We are going to open source it. Anyone can decide to maintain and fix it. It's just, I don't know. It seems like that would be the best solution, is to give people the choice. On a consumer, I understand on a manufacturing level, it's going to make them shit and cry their pants because they can't get their fourth yacht this year. But damn, man, I really can't imagine. I would be so annoyed if I bought something and it just ended up not working, or if it did, it's like, and we're gonna make it difficult for you to hang on to this for much longer. Like, what is it, the pine earbuds? I think that would be cool. Or just open source headphones. Just some, like, you know what I mean? Like, look how much you spend on fucking headphones. The battery dies, and then it's expensive or inconvenient for you to fucking fix it. And then you have to go buy another fucking pair of, like, $300, $200, $300, $100, $500, you know, $20, $30, whatever, $40 headphones. Just let me be able to fix stuff myself and stop sucking these companies' dicks. Like, that's just, I don't know, man. Open source, being able to just also make it yourself, I think that creates the innovation and it gives you a reason to be like, you know what, I'm gonna go fix this myself and not have to rely on worrying about a warranty or worrying about this or waiting for a part, or, you know, I can just go down to my local Radio Shack and everything will be, you know, Radio Shack disappearing was the downfall of society. That's where it started. When Radio Shack, I know it probably was their fault, but hear me out. I was like, when Radio Shack disappeared, I was like, all right, society's leaving. I'm hurt. I don't know. It's kind of silly. But more or less, I do like that more people are using Linux. More gaming has gotten so much easier. Like, I'm playing Frostpunk. God. Me just getting Hitman a couple years ago to work was a fucking nightmare. And all I did was I bought Frostpunk with Bitcoin. No, or Monero, one of the two. I used a website that lets me, like, buy gift cards. I was like, paste! And then bought it, downloaded it, didn't work, found out why it didn't work. It was Wayland, fuck you, Wayland. Switched to X11, unfortunately. And then, boom, fucking switched to Experimental, fucking worked. No problems. I see some people complaining about frame rate. I can't tell the difference because I don't know what it looks like. I don't know. They're like, I can't get past 30 frames per second. I was 30 FPS. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. I don't notice. Because I see beyond. I see in 9K, 4,000 frames per second or whatever. Yeah, it's definitely, I don't know, it's gotten easier. For me, it's gotten, gaming on Linux has gotten easier. I know there's some games that just don't fucking work. An IoT cat feeder. Oh. Sometimes I'll just, like, be looking on the internet, just at stuff that I wish I could just build. That'd be cool. But that's the perspective that I look at. I think that we should move to more open source projects and community. You know, kudos to the EFF. kudos to the EFF for pretty much doing the cool doing like decent reporting. Really good work. Just follow them, hit their RSS feed. Essentially, like support to a lot of these independent media companies or like these companies where they need the donation or support. Switch to Graphene OS, fuck Google, even though it's their hardware. Check out Yellow Ball if you have a podcast and you want a more based, cool ass fucking platform. That'd be awesome. Not sponsored, obviously. It's just very cool to see a platform. And it's simple. It's a very simple, clean design. I tried a couple other, like, podcasting platforms. Fountain Pod was kind of fucking lame. But whatever. I want the competition to be out there. But I think it's very simple. It's very clean. User-friendly. I don't know if there is a dark mode option. If there is, drop everything you're doing and make it happen by default. And this is gonna be a short one. I'm gonna scrape the internet for other stuff to talk about and put my thoughts down. Until then, I will see y'all later.